Welcome back. Good to have you all with us here on the Mark Steiner Show. As always, we are now going to leap into a different subject, something that with the Super Bowl approaching, we have all seen the brouhaha around Cam Norton and why that is, and it feeds in on many of the conversations we've already had today. We were joined by somebody who I have great respect for and the work he's been doing, and cannot wait to talk to him about his latest conversations with the Abdul-Jabbar, the greatest basketball player in my time anyway, I think. Dave Zirin, host of the Edge of Sports Radio, sports editor of The Nation, author of numerous books, including Brazil's Dance with the Devil, the World Cup, and the Fight for Democracy. Good to have you back on, Dave.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Andre Melton joins us. How long have I known you? Andre Melton joins us here in studio. He's also a founder of the syndicated podcast, The Flex Zone, engineer here for the Mark Steiner Show, and board op here at WEAA, Morgan State grad, and is a good football commentator, sports commentator. Good to have you with us too, Andre.
Thank you, sir.
And y'all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, log on to our Facebook pages. 410-319-8888 is the number. So, Dave, I really enjoyed the pieces you've been writing about this. It's just, you know, when I first heard – well, do you have a clip ready here? Let's play this clip and then we jump into it. About a Cam Newton clip, and we can talk about it right on the heels of this.
Kept your name out of the paper for the wrong reasons, but yet these detract. Why do you think that you're judged? Why do you think you become more of a lightning rod than other athletes?
I think this is a trick question, because if I answer it truthfully, it's going to be, oh, he's this, that, or he's going to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think people have seen, you know, what I am or what I'm trying to do, and I said that prior to me being in this situation. But when I said it then, oh, he's immature, oh, he's young, he's this, that, and the third. Like, I felt a certain type of way then, I feel the same type of way now. Nothing's pretty much changed. They talk about maturity with me. They talk about skill set with this team. Nobody has changed. It's been the same Ted Ginn that was drafted, you know, by the Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? The same Jericho Cotri, the same Philly Brown, the same Cam Newton. You know, nothing's changed. But the only thing that's changed is that we're winning. You know, and I've said it since day one. You know, I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare me to. You know, oftentimes, and it's funny, I get inspired, you know, make me go out there and practice even harder, because I remember when I was, you know, working out for the draft, and I would see the Senior Bowl playing, and I see these guys out there busting their tails trying to get drafted, try to have a job to provide for their family or themselves. And it's like, you know, here I am. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it. And when I look in the mirror, it's me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody changed me. Nobody, you know, made me act this certain type of way. And I'm true to my roots. And it feels great. But yet, people are going to say whatever they want to say. And if I'm in this world living.
So that, just a piece of the thing, I didn't want to let it run on, because I want our guests to come in here. And Dave Zirin, let me let you jump off here. I mean, I think that the this is still kind of a conversation in 2015 is shocking to some.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It shows that despite whatever alleged progress we've made, where the line still is. And it is worth taking a step back and talking about the progress that does exist, because yeah, I think all of us who are speaking right now are old enough, and frankly, anybody under around 30 even is old enough to remember when even drafting a black quarterback was controversial. I mean, you date back to, say, Donovan McNabb getting booed when he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're not talking about the distant past here. We're just having a black quarterback was something that raised eyebrows all over the place. And so, yeah, so maybe we've moved beyond that, where it doesn't cause headlines and consternation, you know, a couple of internet egg trolls aside. But we still are at a point where to be black and to be perceived as arrogant, to be black and be a quarterback who doesn't, say, play the game the way Tom Brady or Peyton Manning plays the game, to be black and to play quarterback in a way that, God forbid, suggests that you're actually having fun playing quarterback, is still something that so many in the media just cannot stand. And there was a great line about it from Dominique Foxworth, who played for the Baltimore Ravens, was the head of the NFL Players Association, really one of the smartest cats out there. And he was on an ESPN show, and he loved what Cam Newton said. And he said, it's like, this is what he said. He said, it's like the triumph of what W.E.B. Du Bois always talked about with the need for black people, black men in particular, to have double consciousness, where you act one way around white people, particularly white people with power, and one way around your black peers. And here's Cam Newton saying that he's not going to live in a state of double consciousness, that he's going to be himself wherever he is. And that in and of itself has a very, I think, liberatory effect that extends way beyond the football field.
For us to still have this issue years later is really crazy. You have quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers who does the discount double check, and now he's getting paid off of State Farm for that. And then you have Tom Brady, somebody who's always in other competitors' faces, and we're not talking about the things that they do, but Cam Newton is just celebrating after he scores a touchdown, and people are having issues with that. We've also had a lot of number of other quarterbacks who have played in the Super Bowl, such as Doug Williams, Donovan McNabb, Russell Wilson, and Colin Kaepernick, but yet Cam Newton is different in the aspect of it seems to be a cultural thing with Cam Newton and how he's carrying himself into this Super Bowl.
Because I think in some ways, you know, what people are expecting here in America, some people are expecting in America, white people expecting in America, do people should be acting a certain way, that they shouldn't be all tatted up, that they shouldn't be joyous in their work, they shouldn't kind of be exuberant. And the thing is, I mean, and that, you know, I think that part of it to me, Dave Zirin, and then I'll come back to Andre, is I think the larger issue here is that we as a nation have not dealt with the conscious and unconscious depth of the racism in our world and how we think, well, even though we're thinking it sometimes.
True. No, I think that that's a big part of it, and I think sports has always been this very, very important mirror for us to understand where we are in terms of race and racism in this country. But sports doesn't just, we have to remember this, like, I think it's way too lazy to just say that sports reflects where we are in terms of race and racism, because we've also seen that sports can shape attitudes of how we have of the state of racism in this country. Particularly when I say attitudes, I'm talking about the white majority that's existed for, obviously that isn't going to exist come 2042, but that exists still to this date. And I think what you've seen is there was once a time, of course, where just being black and walking out onto the field was a daring act. From Jackie Robinson to, as I mentioned, Donovan McNabb while going out there for the Philadelphia Eagles. And so we are past that time, but there still is this kind of check in place where it's like, it gets to this thing, well, what kind of black person are you? Becomes like the subliminal question. Are you a Russell Wilson black person? It's the quarterback of the Seahawks, or are you a Cam Newton black person? And I'll tell you something that just happens to be upsetting me right now, just 1 minute before we got on this interview, that has me thinking about this, is that there's this talk radio idiot named Colin Cowherd, who people may have heard of. And he is comparing John Wall, who's the point guard of the Washington Wizards, to Johnny Manziel, who's the flame-out quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Now, Johnny Manziel is white. He is a hard-drinking, drug-using, suspected beater of women. Who is John Wall? John Wall is someone who is a star in the NBA. He gives back to the community. Hell, billions of dollars to build a homeless center for kids in D.C. and has never been accused of any of the things that Manziel is accused of. Yet, Coward sees a parallel between the two. What's the parallel? The parallel is that John Wall, like Cam Newton, is unapologetically black and doesn't live in a state of double consciousness. And for Cowherd, that's enough to equate John Wall with the criminality of Johnny Manziel. And so there's your lens of where we are with racism in this country. And this is why it is a pernicious and consistent problem that just cannot be wished away.
For this will be the fourth year in a row that we've had an African-American quarterback actually in the Super Bowl.
Huh, I thought about that.
Dating back to Colin Kaepernick, who has tattoos, compared to a Cam Newton who was asked by the owner, do you have any tattoos? And if so, you know, well, if you think about getting any tattoos, do not get them. Cam Newton is a clean cut guy, good looking. The only thing is he likes to kind of showboat when he gets in the end zone. It's the same Cam Newton who he's been since he got drafted into the NFL. So it's really, like I said earlier, it's a cultural thing, because the way that each quarterback is different. Well, Colin Kaepernick was different, Russell Wilson was different, and now we have Cam Newton, who is completely different. And each quarterback seems to be here to stay for a very long time.
410-319-8888, your thoughts for this retirement of the segment. Clarence, you're on the air. Welcome.
All right, man, I'm not adding any ease to this. I saw that like 2 o'clock in the morning last night, laying in bed with on one elbow, and I got this kind of Chris Rock grin on my face and a Mr. Spock eyebrow, and I said, Ali. The first thing that popped in my mind was Muhammad Ali. You know, now it may sound crazy to people, but I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, Ali. You know, that's exactly what I thought. I just wanted to throw that out there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. You know, in some ways, Dave, I mean, that what he said made me think of the way you started your most recent article here in The Nation that I read about this, where you said there are two categories of political athletes, the explicit and the representative. And this is how Cam Newton went from one to the other and kind of fits in that Ali scenario.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because it's generally considered almost slander to compare anybody to Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali, you know, he was given a 5-year sentence in federal prison.
Right.
He joined the Nation of Islam and publicly not only took on the white establishment, but Muhammad Ali was furious against the civil rights movement. I mean, he was arguing against King and Roy Wilkins. I mean, you can look back and actually see what Ali said. You wonder how he survived. Literally, how he survived. I mean, he was just piling up enemies and telling very uncomfortable truths, to the point of which even King privately was like, wow, you know, he's got a lot of points, and white people better realize that if they don't listen to me, then it's going to be people like Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X who black America is listening to. Because that's one thing. Ali was just absolutely fierce and fearless. Now, obviously, Cam Newton is not risking years in prison. Obviously, Cam Newton's not risking his livelihood. There's so many differences, but of course, this also isn't the 1960s. This is 2016. So the entire field is different. The main, I would say, parallel between Newton and Ali, there are two. The first is that, and this is just undeniable in our media culture, they are undeniably attractive people. I mean, it's like you look at, I mean, these are like overpoweringly attractive people in terms of their charisma, in terms of their looks, in terms of their smile, in a way that's rare, not just for sports, but just for public life. The second comparison, that's important because that's like a magnet or like moths to a flame that draws cameras and that draws attention. The second comparison is, and I wrote about this in the article, is Cam Newton's statement where we let off the show with about, you know, I'm a black quarterback that people haven't seen before and that makes people afraid, but I'm just going to be me. I'm Cam Newton, is so similar in context and tone to my favorite phrase by Muhammad Ali, where he said, I don't have to be who you want me to be to reporters. And that was one of the first things that Ali said. That was before he came out against the war in Vietnam. That was even before he officially changed his name to Muhammad Ali. It's when he was in that period where he was known as, like, Cassius X, and he was flirting with the Nation, and reporters were bugging him about,
right,
like, are you going to join the Nation? Are you going to join the Nation? And he just said, I don't have to be who you want me to be. And that was, seriously, that was a declaration of war against the conventional wisdom of what black athletes had to be. And that's a real similarity with Cam Newton.
I like that analogy. Before we come back to my brother here, Andre, let me get to the phones, get a quick call here, then come back to Andre. Closing thoughts, 410-319-8888. David, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for accepting my call. I called in to address the earlier issue, but God knows best. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello.
We're here. You're breaking up. Try that one more time, David. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm calling from the Eastern Shore. It's probably a little.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
In response to the issue at hand, I would like to say that first of all, as far as the quarterbacks concerned, the black quarterbacks concerned on the field, I think it's much bigger than the field. That the racism that exists in America is so enormous that it's crazy. I mean, I think about the speed skater, the black speed skater that was breaking records in the United States, and he could not get any recognition whatsoever until his mother, whom was his manager, moved him to Europe. And this is crazy. And when she moved, took him to Europe, that it was then that he received the recognition that he deserved, and that shows that America is more racist than Europe, and that the black quarter, well, any black sports person that is especially that an elite black person in sports, when they are recognized as being as they are, they because the fear of them going further. As well as they don't want us to be managers, they don't want us to be owners, and that's being owners is where we should be focused at. I mean, we have so many black sports players on the field, but we have no owners. That's where we should be focusing at, and that is what they fear. They want to stop it at quarterback. They want to stop it before they get to quarterback. And so I think that's the major issue as far as control of black being empowered.
David, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate you calling in from the Eastern Shore. So it was around just some closing thoughts from you all, Andre. And I know you have a prediction for this Sunday as well, do you?
Yes, I do. just to real quick, just say that the Muhammad Ali comparison, it's not really crazy to me because Cam Newton is a young guy. Like Zimmer was saying earlier, he's a good-looking guy, and he has a lot of charisma. And to me, this is just the start of Cam Newton. He's not really even in his prime quite yet. He's just getting started. This is a young team, and I see him winning his first Super Bowl this Sunday.
Well, I hope that's true. We'd all love that. It'd be a good retribution for the rest.
You going dab for us, Mark?
Dave, your thoughts on Sunday, and also a final thought on just, the moment we're in, I hope people are taking note.
Well, yeah, no, just to say that there's a lot of interesting parallels happening. I mean, it's the 50th Super Bowl. Cam Newton comes into the game having accounted for 50 touchdowns. It's in the Bay Area where they're going to celebrate this year the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Black Panther Party.
That's right.
Cam Newton plays for a team called the Panthers. So there's a lot, and the Panthers' colors are very similar to the colors of the Black Panthers. Now, I'm just saying that there's a lot of interesting kismet at work here, if one believes in such things, one would be hard pressed to bet against Cam Newton.
Well, I know where I will be Sunday. And who I'll be rooting for more political reasons than football reasons, but I know who I'll be rooting for. Dave Zirin, thanks so much. We're going to be linking to his latest articles, and look forward soon, Dave, to talking to you about your conversations with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I really want to hear about that.
I'd love to talk about that anytime, Mark.
All right, we'll get that on soon. And Andre Melton, good to have you on the air with us.
Thank you, sir.
Andre is great, by the way. People should listen to his stuff, man.
Yes,
so it's
he
an
is.
An honor to be on with you too, Andre.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. An honor to be on with you as well.
We're going to take a 10-second break, come right back, and it's time to talk about the City Paper, what's here this week. Don't go away.